A story now of an atheist in a town of devout Catholics using the courts to make a constitutional point and finding herself a 16-year-old pariah in her Cranston High School community of Rhode Island. It all revolves around Jessica Alquist's reaction to an 8-foot-long banner in her high school upon which was printed a prayer that began, "Our Heavenly Father," and ending, of course, with "Amen." Jessica thought the banner offensive to her as an atheist, even though the prayer called for guidance to learn, grow, and be kind in school. She complained about it, eventually taking her complaints to court with the ACLU. And in January, a federal judge ruled that the prayer's presence was indeed unconstitutional, and the community uproar began. We're going to explore the constitutional question here in a moment, but first, let's get into the mind of the teenager who started it all. Jessica Alquist, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So why did you take this on? Why did you want to get this removed under a court order?
It's something that I feel strongly about. I'm very passionate about my country and about the Constitution. And as an atheist, I like to think that, you know, I have just as much a right to go to that school and feel included and a piece of the school as any other student who may believe in God. And I feel like this prayer really doesn't allow for that.
So how does a mural on a wall exclude you from being an atheist in some way? Just explain to me how that works for you personally.
Well, if you've ever seen the prayer, it's huge, and it is entitled School Prayer. And when you read the word school prayer, that really says something to a student. It says that the school prays and that the school believes in the Heavenly Father, believes in God. And as someone who doesn't, I don't really feel like I'm a part of my school.
Now, you live in a very heavily Catholic community there in Rhode Island, right?
Right. Rhode Island is the most Catholic state in the country.
Exactly. So, I mean, everywhere you go, you see signs that people are not atheists.
Right.
So you couldn't have those things removed.
No, and, you know, I wouldn't want to. People have the right to pray in church if they want. They can, you know, wear crosses or rosary beads or T-shirts or really whatever they want to express their individual faith. What I object to is a public school having a religious position.
Well, and a federal judge agreed with you and the other plaintiffs in the case. What's been the reaction?
So every time this is really in the media, every time it's new news, there is some backlash from the kids in school, parents on the internet, it seems, and various people in the community. And it's been tough. I think since we actually won, on the internet I've received death threats. There have been nasty, nasty things said, mostly on Twitter, Facebook. I know now they're selling T-shirts with the prayer on them. And I actually heard rumors that I've transferred to religious schools, that kind of thing. And I think the most interesting one is that at one point, the FFRF, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, wanted to send me flowers. And they called, 6 different local flower shops, and all of them refused to send me flowers. And so they eventually found one in Connecticut that was willing.
Wow. A state representative described you as an evil little thing. Are you an evil little thing?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, have a good day at school and try to keep this behind you and focus on your studies.
Thank you.
That's Jessica Alquist, 16-year-old junior at Cranston High School West in Rhode Island, and she's the plaintiff in this case. To get some constitutional sort of background here, Sarah Barringer-Gordon is with us. She's a professor of history and constitutional law at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So, Professor, as tantalizing as it is a story to think about a 16-year-old having those kinds of threats and dealing with that sort of social pressure, in a sense, is this case the exact same issue as the creche in the public square issue around Christmas time?
It's related, but because it's in school, it's an even higher constitutional level of scrutiny. Courts have traditionally been very concerned about students in public schools who are made to feel that the government actually endorses religion, especially in primary and secondary school.
Now, I'm not in a position to argue her sentiments. She sounded very sincerely offended by the banner, but she did talk to us in part of the conversation that you didn't hear, where she said that most of the students ignore this thing and that she didn't pay a whole lot of attention to us. In a sense, it's kind of like the "In God We Trust" on the money, and that's permitted. Why would this not be?
Really, I think you made the point that there are all kinds of strong moral sentiments in the statement that follows our Heavenly Father. That they're sort of ethical guidelines. It's been there forever. It's actually been there since 1963, exactly when the Supreme Court held all this stuff unconstitutional. So part of what's going on is that the school prayer decisions, which have been very steady by the courts, they have been widely ignored. I think it's one of the most constantly resisted forms of judicial mandate. So school prayer is all over the place still, and we've seen it in many different jurisdictions. I honestly find it ironic that Rhode Island, that was founded by a religious dissenter, Roger Williams, is now such a place of orthodoxy.
And, you know, the Unitarians founded America. So, I mean, we've changed a lot in the last, couple of centuries. But Sarah Beringer Gordon, let's talk a little bit about the prayer in school. The other thing that Jessica told us is that she was never asked to actually be a part of a prayer service in the school. Do the courts make a distinction between organized prayer activities among students that the teachers and administrators actually enforce, in a sense, versus simply a banner hung on a wall?
Yes, there is a distinction, of course, because actual coercion is an even deeper violation. But creating an atmosphere when it looks like the government and religion are united, when the school endorses something that begins "Our Heavenly Father" and ends "Amen," even though there are valuable moral sentiments and aspirations in between, puts a religious framework around something that shouldn't have religion around it.
Well, given that, then, does the community have any grounds for appeal, in your view, before we go?
Is they're claiming that it's been there so long that it's part of the historic structure. I just would point out that it was erected just after the Supreme Court held school prayer unconstitutional. So I think probably not.
So the discussion might be on appeal that this was actually a pushback to the original constitutional question, and so that it's not some sort of historical artifact, but is in fact a part of the debate over prayer in the school itself. Sarah Beringer Gordon, that's really interesting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah Beringer Gordon is a professor of history and constitutional law at the University of Pennsylvania.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.